I want to welcome all the saints tonight and want to say I'm sorry that I missed last week. I got busy, and by the time I actually thought it was Tony's turn to speak, so I wasn't actually prepared, and so I want to apologize for that. And Tony sent me a new list now of who the speakers are, and so I'm up for tonight. This is Bob Gunther. It is December the 4th, 2018, and we are still doing our study in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We've gotten down to as far as verse 12, and I want to go ahead and say a quick prayer, then we'll get started. I'm going to be going from 2 Timothy, then I'll be going over to Titus a little bit, just for a few verses, and then we will come back then to our book of Acts, chapter 22, and we'll just go down as far as we can get on get done on that. So appreciate each one that's tuned in tonight. We trust that this will be, and that it might be helpful as we try to put the Lord first in our life. As Tony's prayer here says, is we're praying for the messages in His Word, and you and your family's health as well. He says, keep Christ as the center of your mindset, and your walk will show through His Word. Then he's used the passage out of Galatians where it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of the faith. As of the writing this verses, Paul is talking to believing Gentiles. We can use this mindset today practically with our walk, and I totally agree with them. Agree with Tony on that. So, let's bow our heads. Heavenly God and Father, we do come into your presence. We do thank you, Lord, for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for his shed blood. We thank you, Lord, for just an opportunity to be able to share the word. We'd ask that you'd bless the hearers. We'd ask that you'd bless the speaker. And we'd ask that you continue to guide, direct our lives. We'd ask, Lord, that you continue to bless those that need your healing touch. We ask that you continue to strengthen us and to help us to be better servants for you. If we ask it all in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and we ask it for his sake. Amen. So, if you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just going to go back and start with verse 10 where it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, and my patience, my persecutions, my afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. I think that promise that the Lord delivered him is the same promise that you and I can enjoy today. And I think that he will do that for us. He will deliver us from these situations that the world seems like it puts us into. And we certainly need to be close to him. We need to stay close to him. And we need to allow him to be to dwell in our hearts and to direct our thoughts and our many choices that we have to make in life. Then he says that's the reason I'm going through the book of Acts is just to find some of this, because he says in verse 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long suffering, charity, and patience. And I thought, well, the best way to do that is to go through the book of Acts and read some of it that he did, some of the things that he endured. We'll see some of the things were negative when he was still named Saul, and we see that there are many things that are positive once he went through the conversion on the Damascus Road and became Paul. So I think there are some similarities in between our walk life and his. I'm not suggesting that we're going to receive the truth in the same manner in which he did, but I am suggesting that that he set an example for us on how to conduct ourselves and how to live our lives, and we should be encouraged by his faithfulness, his willingness. He would not brag on his own faithfulness, but he would brag on the Lord, working with him, dealing with him, helping him, protecting him. And so to that degree, I think we can take the same same hope, the same promises that the Lord gave him, for the Lord loves us also and cares about us, and Paul's no longer with us, but we are here. We have been left here so we can share the truth, that others might profit, might gain, might come to a full knowledge and understanding of who the Lord is and what his hope and calling is for this dispensation of the mystery on truth. Then he goes on and says in verse 11, persecutions, afflictions was coming to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. And when I started looking up these different cities that he went to, I found those in the book of Acts. And so I've been reading about that, sharing that with you folks from every time I have opportunities to share the truth. He says, I endured, but one of them, through them all, the Lord delivered me. In verse 12, he says, yea, and all that will live godly. And I think it's living Christ-like, or living for the Lord, the Lord Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution, or at the very least, misunderstanding. People either don't want to hear what we have to say, or when they do hear it, they reject it. And I believe that's because the Lord will give the understanding to those who are willing to listen, for those who are willing to believe what he has said. And so as a result, part of what we go through, Joe Watkins had a favorite verse that he talked about. It was about those that were otherwise minded. And so we know that is the case, that not everyone believes this truth, not everyone understands this truth, this mystery on truth. And as a result, it is sometimes frustrating that we think we have one of the best hopes and callings that the Lord ever provided. He chose us before the foundation of the world, and that he chose us before we even actually came into existence, before he even started creating. He had in mind a body of Christ that would dwell with him in the heavenly places far above all. So part of the persecution and the sufferings is because of the lack of the sheer numbers of people who believe this and who want to live for it, who want to stand for it, and who want to put Christ first. Verse 13 states, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I always think of this as being the work of the enemy, that he calls them evil men. Seducers, in other words, smooth talkers, people that are able to convince people through their command of the language and through their understanding. But the fact of the matter is, once they get off the track, once they get off into darkness, all they can know and understand is the darkness. And so they continue to deceive others, and they deceive themselves. It is the work of the enemy, the prince and the power of the air, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that gets the credit for this desire to want to either add to or take away from the truth and to confuse people. Then he says in verse 14, but continue thou, and he's talking to Timothy here, but I think of all of us as Timothys, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he goes on to say in 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then 15 states, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's as far as I want to read tonight. The next verse is certainly true for every dispensation, but it's one I'm not going to have time to discuss. So now we've read the verses that I wanted to read there in Timothy. I did want to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. He states here, Paul states to Timothy that thou hast known the scriptures from a child there in verse 15. And I wanted to point out that he had a godly grandmother and a godly mother, and that he had learned the truth from them. And they had told him the truth in such a manner that he kept that faith all the way through, after his name was changed to Paul. We're going to read a little bit about his road there on Damascus when we get in the book of Acts, where he was Saul and where he was casting Christians into prison, and he was actually at the stoning of Stephen, and that he gave his approval for that. And then we find out later, after he goes through this experience on the Damascus Road, that he feels ashamed that he had done that, and that the Lord gave him a new message, another opportunity to serve him, but this time in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, one in which he can be rewarded. And really, all Paul really had to do was get out of the way and allow the Lord to lead and direct in his life. And it was very important that he do it. The Lord wasn't going to force it. He was only going to deal with him on a basis in which he was desiring to want to serve and desiring to want to know the truth, that the Lord would do that. And I think that is still truth for today, that we need to want to know the truth, understand the truth, and then live the truth as the Lord opens up our eyes and ears and understanding to know what is the truth. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son. Whether he adopted Timothy, we're not sure, but we do think this is a sonship, adoption that he does with Timothy, that he thinks of him as his own son. And I think he is not the only one, of course, but one of the few that will be carrying on the truth after Paul passes. So he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. Timothy seemed to be a young man who was emotional. He wore his feelings on his sleeve, the way we express it today. But he didn't hide those things. He was tender-hearted and very caring and loving. And as a result of that, it was easy for him to cry. And I don't see that so much anymore as a weakness. It's just something that it happens when we're really moved by the Spirit to do something, that it can cause us to have these tears. And in this effect, it affected Paul in a positive way. It encouraged him that Timothy was like that. And then in verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance thy unfeigned faith that is in thee, which grew up first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So whatever they knew and understood, Timothy knew and understood and believed it. And Paul could tell by how he conducted himself, his manner of life, and I think that's very fitting that he could do that. And I would suggest that even though we may not have had that same benefit, I know some of the body members have had that benefit where they've had other family members, had their fathers and mothers involved in the truth, and they've taught them the truth from the time they were very young. And to me, that's a huge advantage to have that. We still have to work out our own faith with the fear and trembling, but it's a benefit to start out with godly parents who want the best for us. Obviously, not parents understood all the truths about the mystery on truth, what we do now, but they had a sincere desire to want to know, and I do think the Lord revealed it to them eventually, and then also to the other members that we know now. Verse 6 states, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." This is something, even though it's in 2 Timothy, it's not something that we practice today. It's not something that we need to do now. The Lord has a desire to dwell in our hearts by faith. And if he so chooses to give us my wife Val says, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And so I think to that degree, that's the kind of gift that Timothy needed. And that was the kind of gift that the Lord provided for him to help him to be able to serve and to do whatever was necessary to carry on the ministry after Paul had passed. He says in verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." I certainly believe that is the truth. Fear has a way of causing us to want to stop, causing us to feel weak to the degree where we don't feel like we can do whatever the Lord's asking us to do. And the Lord does not want us to have that type of fear. We should realize that he's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And obviously, the closer we walk with the Lord, the more we experience this, and the more we appreciate what it means to have that. He says in verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And he says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." It's another passage that says only Christ has immortality. But if we are in him and he is in us, then we have the hope, the promise, that we also will be resurrected and will appear with him in glory. He says, "Whereunto I am," that is the Apostle Paul, "appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles or the nations." By the way, I think that's who we are. We're part of the nations. And I think as we think about Timothy, that he was in that same situation. And verse 12 states, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's as far as I wanted to read in that, but I thought we have at least three other examples other than Paul here. We have Timothy, we have the grandmother Lois, and then we have the mother Eustace, who are examples too of godly women. These women were godly. We also know that these men, Paul and Timothy, were godly. That they were godlike in the sense that they followed the Lord. They followed his leading. They did what he asked them to do. Now I want to go over to Titus. Titus chapter 1. We just want to read 4 to 9 there. Titus chapter 1. We used to have a dear saint who's passed now who didn't really care for this book, but the more that I've gotten into it and read it and growing in the Word, the more I appreciate what's being said here. It starts out, Paul is commending Titus almost in the same way there in verse 4 that he was commending Timothy. He says to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Possibly one of the things that this gentleman could have disagreed with is having these structured churches, because we no longer have church buildings per se with steeples on top and stained glass windows, and we either worship in people's homes or just more in regular type buildings. But I do think there's some similarities in between the things that need to get done. That need to be accomplished for true for today, like the putting out of the paper, people writing for the paper, assembling the paper, getting the paper distributed, something Oscar had started. And so I think it takes qualified, again, the Lord not make that the qualifying, but it does require saints to do their part in it, to make all of it happen and to happen smoothly. And the transition to South Carolina, it wasn't exactly as smooth as I'd have liked it, but it was smooth. And it is, I like the paper that's being put out now. I enjoy reading it and sharing it, and I'm glad that it's continuing on. So he says in verse 6, if any be blameless, and it says the husband of one wife. We would just add to this one wife at a time. We do know that sometimes spouses pass. We also know sometimes there's a divorce that happens. And so just because that is the case, it doesn't mean you're not qualified to be able to serve the Lord. So it's having a husband of one wife at a time, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, in other words, the children should be behaved and have manners, and especially in the homes, because that's where the services were being held. So if the children are rowdy or unruly, it makes it pretty hard to have a Bible study. And he says in verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, nor striker, nor not given to filthy lucre, but rather a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, and holy and tempered. I'm getting a bad sound in my speaker. I am going to shut this down, or turn it off and turn it on again real quick here. I don't know if anyone else is hearing that, but I...